Greetings and welcome to Tellings of a Medium. I'm your host, Jennifer Fezzio, and do I have a tale for you. Come with me and experience the unexplainable you will believe. From the U.S.'s most haunted and spine-tingling destinations to its most awe-invoking spiritual ones, this podcast is meant to instill hope and belief that there's something more than meets the eye. Skeptic, doubter, or believer, this podcast is for you as I share experiences from my life working as a professional psychic medium over the past 10 years. Step into a world that is all around you that you never knew existed. Let's begin Tellings of a Medium. Greetings, lovely listeners. I'm going to share with you an exercise that Spirit guided me to do with my students. And we actually did it tonight, just a few hours ago, in our weekly practice circle. This exercise is a kind of reversing the roles type of exercise where a person in class works with a medium, and that medium works with their particular loved one in spirit. Now, the first time I tried this exercise, I had Renee working as the medium, and Lacey was the person that wanted to give a message to her loved one in spirit, and she was going to use Renee the medium to do so. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, wait, why do the living need a medium to give a message to a person in spirit? Because doesn't spirit hear all and know all with us and feel all with us and live alongside us? And I mean, I thought so, right? But yet Spirit was giving me this exercise to try. And I always trust Spirit when they bring through these crazy cool experimental exercises. So I did just that. So Lacey, how this, and I urge you, if you run a circle, please try this. It is one of the most beautiful experiences you'll have as a medium, if you're the medium working in this exercise. And you're gonna feel spirit from kind of a different angle. You're gonna work with spirit from a different angle. So Renee, and I'm gonna describe this exercise so you can now try it. You can go forward trying it in your circle. So basically, how this exercise unfolded was, my student Lacey wanted to talk to her mother-in-law in spirit. Now, Renee was the medium who volunteered to work as the medium for Lacey. So what was to happen was Lacey would say 5 or 6 words. She would say a message like spirit people would tell us. It was not Lacey asking questions to her loved one in spirit through Renee, the medium. It was Lacey speaking the words she wanted to say to her. Not questions, but what she wanted to say. And so Lacey would give, you know, a sentence, and she was instructed to pause after those 5 seconds to allow Renee, the medium, to feel the sentence to Lacey's mother-in-law in spirit. And Lacey was supposed to say maybe 5 or 6 things so Renee could feel them to Lacey's mother-in-law in spirit. Now, the purpose of this exercise is twofold. Number one, to give to spirit what they always give to us. We work with mediums, and spirit gives us enlightenment and love, motivates us, encourages us, uplifts us. But this exercise is all about us using the medium to give that back to them, to give that motivation, inspiration, upliftment, all that stuff to our loved one in spirit. And the second reason we do this is for us as developing mediums to put ourselves in the spirit person's shoes normally. You know, they're coming to a medium usually, and they are supposed to give this message they know their loved one needs. Well, this exercise forces us to be on the spot in that sense. Like, okay, I'm here speaking to Renee, the medium. I'm Lacey. This is what I want to say to my mother-in-law. And I need to think about this. I need to think about what I want to say to her. And it's to give ourselves an opportunity to kind of be in spirit shoes when we have to think about what we want to say. Now, we're not all wise and everything like spirit. It's not necessarily about helping spirit evolve on the other side. I mean, it could be very healing for them as well. But it was more so just to get off your chest what you wanted to say. You know, thank them. What came forward with the people in my class when they chose to speak to their loved one in spirit through the medium working was, I love you. Tell them this. Tell them that. I'm angry though. Why didn't you blah, blah, blah? And this exercise was eye-opening. Because two of my students worked as the mediums. Renee was the first one, then Freedom was the second medium to work. And what would happen when the classmate would talk to their loved one in spirit, and then the medium working would feel that to the spirit person, there was an ongoing communication that the loved one in spirit was making the medium feel. The medium was feeling that energetic response, feeling the emotions, seeing images, knowings were coming in as the classmate was verbally speaking what they wanted to say to their loved one. And the medium, Renee or Freedom, was feeling it, but they were getting stuff back from that loved one in spirit. And so when the exercise was over, and I let, you know, the medium and the classmate work with the spirit person for probably about 5 minutes, nothing too long. But then when that was finished, that communication, we asked the medium to share what they have received from the spirit person when their living person was talking to them. And the evidence, even though we weren't looking for evidence, the evidence was mind-blowing. When Freedom worked as the medium for her classmate Lisa, who wanted to connect to her guy friend in spirit, Lisa would speak these sentences out, and Freedom would feel them to her guy friend in spirit. Lisa even actually asked a few questions. But what happened was, you know, Freedom, the spirit, the guy friend, took Freedom inside the car and gave her feelings. And that was where he had passed. And the evidence with the emotion and the knowing and the visions that Freedom was given from this guy friend in spirit brought understanding to Lisa, who was talking to him through Freedom. It was mind-blowing. She did not ask for evidence. We didn't ask for that. We didn't ask for proof. But it was obvious that even though Freedom was not communicating with the spirit person solely, and she was just feeling what Lisa wanted to say to her guy friend in spirit, he was still delivering these pieces of information through see, feel, know of evidence that gave evidence that it was him, answered her questions, and gave her understanding and brought Lisa to peace. And all Freedom was doing was feeling what he was giving when Lisa, the alive student, was talking to Freedom and she was feeling those words to him. The spirit person guy friend still gave responses, and the responses were mind-blowing. The evidence was in how he passed, the location of inside the car, evidence about his mother, a little bit of evidence in there about the relationships closest to him. When we set this exercise up, we never planned to get that with this. This exercise is what I call backwards mediumship. We're not letting spirit lead the conversation, but the client is leading the conversation, saying the words that they want to be heard, that they want their loved one, their particular loved one in spirit, to be heard. And they give the medium the name of their loved one. And as they speak their words to the medium is quiet and feels those to the spirit person. And this was an exercise that spirit totally told me to do with my students. We were not expecting to get the depth of the evidence, the understanding, pretty much everything that we get when we flip it back normally and talk to spirit mainly. We were, the mediums, Freedom and Renee, were actively talking to their classmates and then communicating to that single person in the spirit world. They did not establish proof. They just trusted that that loved one in spirit was there, and they were responding to what their physical person alive was telling the medium, and it worked. So this kind of, and you know me, I'm a little progressive and different. I always like to try new things with mediumship, because I think that we, up until the year 2025, have really been limiting ourselves as to what the spirit world is and how we can tap into that, and even how we work with it. Let's expand. Let's try new things. Let's work new ways. Let's throw out these guidelines. I'm such an Aquarius over here, in the 10th house. And it's, you know, that's my sun, Aquarius, 10th house, sandwiched between Mars and Mercury. And I'm here to do things in this public arena of mediumship in a different way. And that's what I do. And so this exercise discredits a lot of rules that are out there right now, such as rules that mediums are taught to live by or work by, rules such as don't let the client say anything before you begin. Don't let them give you a name. Don't let them tell you who they want to connect with. Well, that's totally thrown out the window with this exercise. But yet I discredited that tonight, because Freedom and Renee had some of the most beautiful experiences with spirit when they were letting the living talk first. Take hold, lead the conversation. They said that the way they felt spirit, as they were feeling to spirit, feeling what their alive client was saying to the spirit person, felt differently. It was, I'm trying to remember exactly their words. It was very, actually, you know what they said? They said it was very emotional, lots of feeling, undeniable blend, undeniable receivings, visions, knowings. Honestly, and I didn't ask them this, but I think they might agree with me when I say it was sometimes a lot clearer than when we work the traditional way with spirit. Because it was, you could see the depth of their blend. You could feel it. And the evidence was amazing. So, you know, to not let the client tell you who they want to connect with, to not let the client say anything, this exercise completely discredited that it has to be that way. It doesn't. You know, actually, a third reason to do this exercise, some of the feedback I got, you know, from the clients that talked to the medium, talking to their loved one in spirit, was that it was very healing just to get their words out to the person. Yeah, this is very scary stuff, isn't it? When we ask the client to speak to their loved one in spirit, you know, this is very therapeutic. Not that I am a therapist, but it gives the client a little bit of power. And Lacey literally said it was very healing for her, you know. And again, I know it discredits so many ways that tutors and mentors out there teach, but and even don't let the client ask questions. Well, why not? Don't you trust in spirit to answer them? And I swear to you, the questions were asked from the clients and spirit answered. And it was a lot easier than when working the traditional way of talking to spirit mainly, not the living client. And just a lot of things were very eye-opening with this experiment, soul mediumship we did tonight. But I wanted to share because it was really cool and my students thought it was really cool. And if you run a circle, please try it, you know, next time. And if you're a professional medium working out there, you know, ask your client, you know, let's work a little bit differently today. Or are you open to kind of leading the conversation with spirit? Do you want to say a sentence or two first? And then I can feel that connection and emphasize it. Even though they probably feel it from you, the medium can communicate it as well. I'll communicate it as well to your spirit person. And when you say 4 to 5 sentences, I'll give you what I receive from your spirit person. And see if they're open to that. And some clients may be, some may not. But if you're in the practicing realm still and you're in a circle or you run a circle, play with this. Because it blew our minds, it knocked our socks off. It was just breathtaking to watch. And yeah, it was amazing. Now, when the client shared what they wanted to say with the spirit person, you know, no one, you know, took it too personal. This was a public setting, and if you feel comfy, you may need to, you know, want to say we're in a public setting, so please, for our listening ears, keep it as a public message, you know, like be sensitive to the public ear. You probably won't have a problem with that if you're running a circle. People, you know, tend not to lay everything out there. Some people will, though. So you know your students. That's all I'm going to say. So use this exercise how you best see fit with your intimate circle group you work with. We did not get uncomfy hearing our classmates or my students speak with those beautiful words they wanted to speak to their loved ones. It was very amazing to watch. Try this, give it a whirl, and feel free to email me at jenniferfezio@gmail.com if you try it and you had some crazy cool experiences. I'd love to hear, share. I have one opening left for Thursday p.m. class and one opening left for Wednesday a.m. We are 5 weeks out from class, just over 5 weeks. Please message me if you're interested. Any level can do my class, from beginner to more seasoned sensitives. As you can tell by now from my podcast, I do approach mediumship in a very progressive, non-traditional way. And you're going to find out if I'm a fit for you or not, probably just by listening to my podcasts. And I think that's important to really get to know the mentor, you know, see what they offer, see how they talk, see how they talk about mediumship. What are they doing with it in their lives, you know, and get a feel if I'm a right fit for you. But if you have any questions about the program, don't hesitate to email me. Until next time, lovely listeners, I'll talk to you then.